Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text this morning is taken from our gospel lesson, John 2, these words. On the third day, there was a wedding at Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus also was invited to the wedding with his disciples. In biblical times, wine was the beverage of choice. But it was more than just a beverage of choice. It was a sign of God's grace. It was a sign of God's abundant blessings. It was a sign for hope for the future. Now, for a wedding specifically, wine was a sign or a symbol that God had blessed this couple with good things. It would be a symbol of the couple's joyous future life together. You see, good wine takes time. It takes care. It takes patience. The enjoyment of a good wine is long-term, like a marriage. Today we hear these words again of Jesus at the wedding of Cana. More than likely, we are familiar with what happens here. The wine, the sign of God's blessing, runs out. Disaster is threatened. But Jesus takes care of the problem and the day is saved. But there is more than just taking care of the wine in this parable that is actually acted out. Jesus gives us signs of the things to come. Now, reflecting back on this day, it seems as though the wedding wasn't carefully planned out. We can imagine that there was quite a crowd there. Relatives from all over the region come to celebrate this couple's wedding. Mary was there with Jesus and his disciples. So we have to conclude that either Jesus and Mary were relatives or were close friends of the couple. And so the wedding was in its early stages when Mary alerts Jesus that they have no wine. And then John points us to the 6 stone jars. Now, there were 6 stone water jars there for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Now, we turn to the Gospel of Mark, and we get an idea of what the water was used for. Mark records, "For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they wash their hands, holding to the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And there are many other traditions that they observe, such as the washing of cups and pots and copper vessels and dining couches." You can imagine the amount of water used for all these traditions. But as we step back, we can see that these jars seem to represent, to be a symbol of the old covenant that God made with man. And now they are sitting there empty, possibly declaring with their emptiness the emptiness of the old covenant, the covenant without the Messiah. And so Mary directs Jesus, the servants, to do whatever Jesus asks. And then Jesus commands the servants to fill these empty jars with water. And here is the sign. What was once empty, these jars now contain wine, new wine, the wine of the new kingdom. The old covenant has been replaced by the new covenant, the covenant in Jesus Christ. God has sent his Son to be the light of the world, to lead his people into eternity. The old has gone away. The new has come. This miracle in itself is quite a sign that reveals who Jesus is, the promised Messiah in the flesh. And so the servants take a sample of wine from these water jars, now jars filled with wine, to the master of the banquet. He tastes it and finds that it is the best wine, better than what they had before. Not only the best wine, but you can imagine the quantity of the wine in those water jars. It brings to mind the words of the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 25. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all people a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wine, or rich food full of marrow, of aged wine well-refined. So now the feast can continue without embarrassment. The servants knew exactly what happened here. But as with many of Jesus' miracles, there is something else going on here. As John records, this, the first of his signs, Jesus did at Cana in Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. Jesus was doing more than just saving a wedding. The result of this miracle, the water made wine, is that the disciples believed in Jesus. The sign of the water made wine brought to bear the Old Testament prophecies of the messianic feast with rich food and well-aged wine. Here Jesus reveals himself in glory to be the Messiah. And all of this in the sign of the water made wine. So already in the Gospel of John, this is the second chapter, already we have this clear revelation of who Jesus is. But it's interesting at this point, we would ask the question, well, who really knew about this miracle? Well, John writes that the servants knew, and obviously the disciples knew because of the sign, as a result of the sign, they believed in Christ. But it seems like the rest of the crowd that was gathered, the wedding couple, all their guests, friends, and family didn't know a thing about it. Now, as the gospel continues, as the gospel continues to record the life of Jesus, he continues to do more signs until the sign of the cross and the empty tomb. And so as the miracles continue, as the signs continue, Jesus is revealed again and again, and it becomes more glorious, and the magnitude and intensity grows with each sign that is done. And these signs are done so that we might believe. These signs are recorded for us. We don't need the fickleness of our hearts or our feelings, because we have the sure and certain testimony of John and the other authors of the Gospels. As John writes in chapter 20 of his Gospel, "Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." Signs. There's a couple more here we don't want to miss. We have that interesting interaction between Jesus and his mother. Again, signs of things to come, pointing to the cross. Jesus responds to Mary's request with the word "woman." It's not exactly a term of endearment, not exactly what we'd expect between a son and mother. Now, it's not a term of disrespect. In fact, it's a very formal and polite way of addressing Mary. And this shows that the relationship between Jesus and Mary has changed. Jesus is now, since his baptism that we looked at last week, he's been baptized into the office of the Messiah, the Redeemer. And so now he is the Messiah, the Redeemer, and Mary is one for whom the Messiah had come. And so the relationship mother-son is now Redeemer-redeemed. And that is consistent with his words following that, "My hour has not yet come." His hour, the hour of his suffering and dying, the hour of his passion, has not yet come. That was the time when he would go through those critical events for us and return to heaven to be with the Father. And this is the time when his hour had fully come, that his glory would be revealed in all of its fullness. And this is the hour when Jesus would publicly be revealed to the whole world as the Son of God, the Savior of the world. Because Jesus has faced his hour, the hour of his passion, the hour of his death and resurrection, we will no longer face the hour of our judgment, the hour of our condemnation. Instead, we will see the glory of the Lord in all of its fullness in the new heavens and the new earth. We will experience the fullness of his presence as the Lamb on his throne. And today we will experience a little of that heaven on earth under the sign of the bread and the wine. Here at the Lord's table, we will feast on the bountiful, abundant blessings of God in the sacred meal. Water into wine at the wedding of Cana. It's more than just saving a party from disaster. It's a sign that Jesus has come to save us from our sinful lives, to save us for new lives of caring and serving, to save us for eternal life. the feast where the wine will never run out. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.